Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Jesus promised his disciples a companion who would be with them after he was gone. That companion is the Holy Spirit, and he's still doing for today's believers what he did for the original 12 so long ago. If you feel lonely, stay tuned for an encouraging word. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, we continue a 10-part series on When the Spirit Has His Way. Dr. Lutzer comes now with a message on the gift of companionship.
Can we just take a moment and bow together in prayer? Our Father, we ask in the name of Jesus that every person listening to this message might, by your grace, have an open heart. Draw those who feel distant from you into the inner circle of your love and fellowship. For those, Father, who may feel distracted because of what happened this week, we pray for a special focus, a special interest. Overcome, Father, all reluctance to hear what you have to say, and then make us obedient to whatever we hear. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let me begin today by asking you a question. What do you think of when the phrase Holy Spirit comes to mind? What are you thinking about? Do you think of the Holy Spirit as some kind of a force like electricity, or some kind of an impersonal force that maybe gives you guidance, but there's very little intimacy or connection? The first time I ever experienced a GPS was in Germany about 10 years ago when Rebecca and I were there visiting our daughter and a son-in-law. He was in the military, and they had a car with a GPS. Now, it spoke English and not German, for which we were very grateful. And here I found myself driving along, taking orders from a woman I had never met before. And she was telling me where to turn, how many yards it was to the next exit. But then we came to a certain place where she said, turn around. And we just kept driving, and then at the next opportunity, turn around. I thought she was going to say, you idiot, turn around. But there was no way that we could really communicate with her. We couldn't tell her that the place where you told us to turn was under construction. There was really no personal element in that kind of leading. It was all one way and no connection with a personality, even though she, of course, was a person. Do you think of the Holy Spirit like that? Or do you think of the Holy Spirit of God as a companion, which is, of course, the subject of today's message, is that you know that the Holy Spirit of God is with you and beside you and in you, and that Christ is there, as we're going to learn, as a result of his work. Now, when the disciples were on earth, they, of course, had Jesus with them physically. And we like to think about how wonderful it would be if we could have been there at Galilee when Jesus was actually there, when he was walking on the water, when he was multiplying bread. Today, when you go to Israel, everybody wants to say that they were where Jesus walked. There aren't many places that we can say with authority Jesus was here. But on the south side of Jerusalem, there are some stairs that were uncovered a number of years ago by archaeologists, and they are the first century stairs leading up to the temple area. There's no question that if you walk there, you can say, Jesus walked here. So what did some of us do? We walked up and down every one of those steps, up and down. We wanted to say we walked where Jesus walked. We think, what a privilege. You know what Jesus would say to us? You don't have it right at all. It is good for you, he said to the disciples, that I go away. Because he says, if I don't go away, I can't send the Holy Spirit. And the benefits of the Spirit being sent to my people far outweigh my physical presence here on earth for reasons that will become clear in just a moment. So today you and I have the privilege that even the disciples only entered into after the Spirit came at Pentecost. What a marvelous opportunity and privilege is given to us. Our text today is the 14th chapter of the Gospel of John, John chapter 14, where Jesus is speaking to the disciples and trying to comfort them in light of the fact that he was going away and would die on the cross, and eventually they'd have to live without his physical presence. So he's trying to give them some hope and telling them that the benefits of his leaving were wonderful indeed. Verse 15 of chapter 14 of John, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper." Now, I want to pause right there and say that the Greek word that I'm sure you've heard is paraclete, parakletos. Para means next to, and kaleo means to call. It is indeed a helper. It is a companion, somebody who is called alongside of somebody else who's in desperate straits, and the paraclete comes along as a helper. Jesus is saying, when I leave, I'm going to send you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Wow, time to pause for just a moment and catch our breath. When Jesus says, I am going to send you another helper, in English, let me say that we have a word for another, and it's kind of a standard word that is used in many different situations. I may say, I have given you a pen, and then I can say, I gave you another pen, even though that pen may be quite different in shape and size and everything else than the previous one. So there'd be a word for that. I'm giving you another pen. It means a different one. It's not the word that Jesus used here. When he said, I will give you another helper, the word that is used is one like me, one who is identical to me, because he is going to represent me now and manifest me to you. I sometimes used to say that the Holy Spirit is the substitute for Jesus in Jesus Christ's departure and absence. That is not quite right. I want to correct that nuance and say that it's not as if the Holy Spirit substitutes for Jesus. It is that the Holy Spirit is the one who brings Jesus to us during this time when Jesus is gone. That's why the words that the choir just sang are so appropriate. Christ with me, Christ within me, Christ behind me, Christ before me, Christ beside me. Wow, biblical in every respect. Because it is now the Spirit that brings Jesus to us so that Jesus at the Great Commission can say, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel, and lo, I am with you. I am with you. Until the end of the age. How is he with us? By the ministry of the blessed Holy Spirit of God. Now, why was it for our advantage that Jesus went away? What's the advantage? Well, when he was here on earth physically, he could be in one place at one time only. Even after he was raised from the dead and was given this glorious body, he could travel from Galilee to Jerusalem in a split second, but he couldn't be in both places at the same time. So if he's going to be with his people, if he's going to be with his people in Thailand and Morocco and Egypt and Iran and Iraq, and if he's going to be his people, because God does have his people even in those countries, if he's going to be with his people all around the world, there's only one way he can do it, and that is by his Holy Spirit. And so the Spirit is the one who brings Jesus beside us while he is absent from us physically. Now, someday, of course, we'll see him physically, and we'll even see his nail prints. But for now, he sends the Spirit and says, I'm with you, no matter where you are on this planet. So that's one advantage. The other advantage is simply this, that the Spirit is with you, Jesus said. You'll notice the last part of verse 17, but he will be in you. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit came upon people, sometimes left people, gave them the ability to do marvelous things. But so far as we know, the people of God were not universally indwelt by the Holy Spirit. That's a new ministry of the Spirit, when the Spirit comes. You say, oh, Pastor Luther, I don't understand all this terminology. Wasn't the Holy Spirit always here? Of course the Holy Spirit is always here, because the Holy Spirit is God. So he was here in the Old Testament. He was here before the day of Pentecost. But what Jesus is saying, and my, how important this is and how it deserves fuller elucidation. But what Jesus is saying in the day of Pentecost is that now a whole new era, we call it a new dispensation, has come. And that means that rather than people just being in a land, the Jewish race, with all of the revelation from God, now that is being spread around the world. And so now we have a new era called the era of the church. And with that new era, God says the Holy Spirit is going to have a brand new ministry. He's going to be around you, next to you, beside you, but also in you. That's why we titled this series of messages, When the Spirit Has His Way, Recapturing the Wonder of God Within You. Wow, if we can recapture that, we'll have accomplished something. Now, what I'd like to do is to help you to understand this word paraclete. And in order for us to understand it, it is variously translated, and with good reason. God used a word that has many different ways and aspects and meanings, because God says he's going to be everything that you need in any situation. I'm sending you the Spirit, the Paraclete. First of all, the main meaning of the word means advocate. He's an advocate. You know, it says in the book of Romans, chapter 8, and I'll just read it to you, it says this, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. Do you feel weak today? Do you feel powerless? Do you feel as if you are being unheard, unappreciated, and that you don't matter? Well, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses, for we don't know how to pray for ourselves. He helps us in our weaknesses. He helps us to pray. The Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. There are times in our life that are so dark, that are so puzzling, that are so grievous that we do not know how to pray. We have nothing to say to God, and the Spirit prays in our behalf. Rebecca and I know a couple whose son committed murder. And a book has been written about it, so it's no great secret. But I remember the mother saying that when that call came very early in the morning while they were asleep, she rolled on the floor, and she was there on the floor, and she couldn't get up for a long time. What do you say to God now? Is there anything to say? Groanings too deep for words, and the Holy Spirit, who is an advocate, prays. And out of the dust and the ashes of that terrible experience, believe it or not, many wonderful things has happened. Their son, who is in prison today, is leading Bible studies, leading people to Christ. It's an amazing story if you can get the total picture. But there are times that are too dark for us. And the Spirit says, in your weakness, I'm here for you. The Spirit even helps us when we sin. He doesn't help us to sin. Let me be very clear. But when we sin, what does the Spirit do? He is grieved. In fact, we'll have an entire message in this series on the grief of the Spirit. But what does the Spirit do? The Spirit points us to Jesus, because the Bible says, "He shall not speak of himself, but what he has heard from Christ he shall speak." And Jesus said, "He's going to glorify me," because Jesus deserves the glory and the glorification, and he's going to point people to Christ. And that's something that we can be assured of. There was a man who was walking through the desert, and he didn't have a compass, but he had a homing pigeon on a long string. And every once in a while, he just let the pigeon loose, and it would circle for a while, and then it would head in the right direction. And that's the way he knew that he was on the right trail. That's what the Holy Spirit always does. The minute you become intimate with the Holy Spirit, Jesus is glorified. He'll always point you to Scripture. He'll always point you to Jesus. That's his work. And so the Spirit is our advocate. You may feel today so broken in spirit. Can I encourage you? If you're a believer in Jesus, and the Holy Spirit is limited to believers in Jesus Christ, those who are converted. You'll notice Jesus said the world can't receive him. So in the world, there are plenty of other spirits, but they're false spirits. The Holy Spirit is given to those who believe in Jesus and trust him as their Savior. So he is indeed an advocate. The Spirit is also a comforter. Isn't this beautiful? Maybe you came to this service today not expecting to be blessed. Well, get over it. Get blessed, would you please? You'll notice Jesus says in verse 18, "I will not leave you as orphans. I'll come to you. Yet a little while, and the world will see me no more. Indeed, he's going to die, be resurrected, and go to heaven. But you'll see me." I think I should say it right here. Sometimes we confuse the visible with the real and think that if something isn't visible, it isn't real. Jesus is invisible, but he's just as real as if he were standing beside us on the Lake of Galilee. That's the whole point. That's why I want you to develop a relationship with the Holy Spirit, his companionship. "I will not leave you as orphans. I'll come to you. Let a little while, and the world will see me no more, but you'll see me, and because I live, you'll also live. In that day, you'll know that," and notice the beauty of this, "I am in my Father, you in me, and I in you." Can you get any closer than that? The answer, of course, is no. He says, "I won't leave you orphans." This past week, despite my self-imposed busyness, I just thought to myself, what would it be like to be an orphan? Now, some of you can identify with that, and thank God for all the orphan ministries. And we think, for example, of As Our Own in India that we help support. But I would think, first of all, I'd feel very abandoned, as if, you know, I'm just left. Jesus said, "I'm not going to leave you that way. I'm not going to walk out on you and say, well, now do the best you can because your parent," and I'm putting parent in quotes, "Jesus is gone." No, 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 no. "I will come to you," Jesus said, "by the Holy Spirit of God, and you have to realize that I'm not going to abandon you. I'm going to be with you." So I think one of the feelings I would have is abandonment. I think another feeling I would have is, what shall we say, a sense of worthlessness. I would feel as if I really don't matter. Why would I matter to anybody? If my parents abandoned me, they must consider me worthless. I say to you today, my dear Christian friend, those of you who've received Christ and have the Holy Spirit, you matter to God. You matter to God so much that look at what Jesus said. He's just piling one blessing upon another. He says in verse 23, I think it is, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. My Father will love him, and we all because of the Trinity. Can't understand this without the Trinity. And we will come to him, I and the Father and the Spirit, and we will make our home with him. God says those people out there who abandon you, who think that you are worthless and of no account, just know that that's not the way I consider you. To me, you are so valuable that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, thanks to the Trinity, is going to not only dwell beside you, but he is going to dwell within you and be encouraged, because the Holy Spirit of God is the comforter. He's the comforter, and he will not leave you an orphan. My friend, this is Pastor Lutzer, and today I want you to take with you the fact that you are very precious to God. You know, when the Bible talks about Jesus, who said that I'm going to give you the Paraclete, which is, of course, the Greek word translated comforter, it also has other meanings as well. And I like to think that the reason for that, as I pointed out in the message, is that the Holy Spirit becomes to us exactly what we need at a particular moment. What are you going through today? Do you need comfort? Do you need wisdom? Do you need a sense of companionship, the recognition of the fact that God is with you? If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, take heart, because the Scripture is very clear that the Trinity dwells within us. As the promise was made by Jesus, we will make our abode with him. Take that with you today. Of course, no matter where you go, God comes with you. His presence is localized within you. He's around you. And he's saying to you and to me today, draw near, and I will draw near to you. As you listen to this series of messages on the Holy Spirit, and I hope that you do that in the days and the weeks ahead, I hope that you continually learn more. But I'm also praying that your faith might increase, that you might experience more. The Holy Spirit of God given to us. Thanks so much for joining us today, and I hope to see you right here next time on Running to Win. Thanks in advance for your prayers and for your gifts. Together we are making a difference. From my heart to yours, you have a good day all day. Well, what would happen if the Holy Spirit had his way among us? I can imagine that what would happen is couples with irreconcilable differences who are headed for divorce would be reconciled if the Spirit had his way.
Erwin Lutzer on the Holy Spirit.
But there is spiritual power available for the most bound sinner, bound by his own chains. There is help and there is hope for deliverance, forgiveness, and restoration when the Spirit has his way.
But there is confusion about the role of the Spirit.
Teaching on the Holy Spirit of God is oftentimes risky, some people believe, because we have in our minds all the extremes. And the fact is that the Holy Spirit of God has been given to the church, and there is a wing of evangelicalism that avoids the Spirit because of these extremes that are doing things that are unbiblical.
Dr. Lutzer's approach.
But what we're going to do in this series of messages, of course, is to concentrate on those issues that the Holy Spirit of God has revealed in his word that he'd like to do among us, and he is available.
When the Spirit has his way, 10 messages on CD that can transform your life. This series will be sent as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support the outreach of Running to Win. Call right now at 888-218-9337. That's 888-218-9337. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Online, reach us at rtwoffer.com. That's rtwoffer.com. When the disciples of Jesus heard he was about to be taken from them, they felt a deep sense of abandonment. How gracious Jesus was to promise them a companion who would be closer to them than even he was while on earth. Next time on Running to Win, why their companion is also our companion. Thanks for listening. For Dr. Erwin Lutzer, this is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is sponsored by the Moody Church.